This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Governor Justice has signed a proclamation to extend the regular session by one day, allowing lawmakers more time to come to a budget agreement. In a press conference at the Capitol yesterday, Justice said he was disappointed that a budget compromise hadn't already been reached.
We're not going to get a budget, or we're surely not going to get a budget that has any sense to it. The budgets that are proposed by the House and the Senate both are budgets that will hurt our state, slow us down more, and absolutely without a question will hurt a lot of people. Now let me just say this. Today I'm signing a proclamation extending the session. The worst words that I thought I would never have to say. Extending the session. 60 days we have to get this job done. And just look where we're going. We're going nowhere, absolutely nowhere. So I'm extending the session for one day. And the reason I'm extending it for one day is because in one day, we ought to be able to get everything done. In regard to this budget, everything. And why should the people pay more money for us to be here when we've been here for 60 days? Why?
The proclamation is an extension of the regular session, not a special budget session. Governor Justice will be joining Ashton Mara tonight on the legislature today to discuss the progress of the legislature so far this session. The legislature today airs at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting or is available on our website, wvpublic.org. Members of the House of Delegates have approved their budget bill for fiscal year 2018, bringing $140 million additional dollars in revenue and making $75 million in cuts to government agencies. Liz McCormick has more.
The House's budget is largely based on revenue brought in under a Senate bill that was drastically changed by the chamber's Finance Committee. That bill, Senate Bill 484, originally would have just captured some $12 million a year that goes into the state road fund. But while it still contains the provision, it's been transformed into what House leadership is calling a tax reform measure. The House's version looks to broaden the base of taxable goods and services in two phases, July and then October of this year. Under the plan, things like cell phones or personal services would become subject to the sales tax, bringing in some $140 million in additional revenue in the 2018 budget. The bill would also require that by July 2018, the state's current 6% sales tax would be reduced to 5.5%, then to 5.25% in July 2019. Over time, if the fiscal climate is favorable in the state, the tax rate could be lowered to as low as 4.75%. That reduction of the overall rate will also lead to deficits in the state budget, that is, if spending doesn't increase in the state. Majority Leader Darrell Coles of Morgan County adamantly supports the measure, saying West Virginia's border counties will see a boom in revenue.
It's tax relief for the people of West Virginia. It does capture revenue in the short term. It is very quickly, within two short years, revenue neutral, as the rate is lowered for everyone on every purchase point of sale that's taxed. And then for another 2 years, the rate drops all the way down to 4.75. Imagine that. Imagine the growth our border counties could see if we have a competitive advantage at a tax rate of 4.75, considerably lower than all of our surrounding neighbors.
But Minority Finance Chair Delegate Brent Boggs of Braxton County says he's concerned this revenue idea lacks fairness.
It seems like with this, when we talk about broadening the base, we're really not broadening much because it's all the things that we're not picking up. And we seem to be disproportionately hitting the people that are at the low income and middle income level, and possibly that takes in a lot of our seniors.
After nearly 2 hours of debate, Senate Bill 484 passed 52-48. In an evening floor session Wednesday, delegates also took up the chamber's budget bill, House Bill 2018, which relies on $75 million in cuts to state agencies to make up a balance. The House's budget no longer includes the 2% pay raise to classroom teachers first proposed by Governor Jim Justice. It reduces funding for West Virginia's four-year institutions by 6% and the state's community and technical colleges by 5%. The budget also grants the Higher Education Policy Commission the authority to decide how the state's higher education dollars will be divided between institutions. It was this part of the budget that had some delegates in the House concerned. Several Democrats argued the provision is unconstitutional, including Delegate Rodney Miller, a Democrat from Boone County, who says the House had even considered getting rid of the organization at one point.
It's interesting that we are giving them the pot of money to let them be the arbitrator, the disseminator of this funding, letting them be the ultimate choice, when at the same time, during this legislative session, we had, if I'm not mistaken, we had some legislation proposed to actually either get rid of or completely alter, significantly change the CTCs and HEPCs in our state. Now we're going to give them all this power and authority and money. It's very confusing with the consistency of what we have going on in this body.
Democrat Mike Caputo of Marion County says allowing the HEPC to control higher education spending will result in a lack of accountability.
These folks, they're appointed for a term certain. They don't have to account to the people. They don't put their name on a ballot. We put our name on a ballot. And that bothers me. I don't know who come up with this crazy idea to throw all the money in one pot and just let some people toss it out how they feel without any accountability. Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, that to me is just absolutely irresponsible.
Republican Mark Zatezalo of Hancock County spoke in support of the budget bill and suggested the HEPC works more closely with the state's colleges and universities than the legislature does.
We are allocating resources to two groups who have the most interface with higher education. And I'm wondering if they might have more insight into how things are spent at the higher education level than we do. I certainly, you know, I can see money go in and out of here, and I can see money allocated for schools. Frankly, I'm not in the weeds enough for each school to understand exactly what they need and exactly who needs the money.
House Finance Chair Eric Nelson argued this was a tough budget year all around. But when it came to giving the HEPC the authority, it makes the most sense.
I mentioned we had a bunch of agencies come before us to give budget presentations. The presentation for higher ed and CTC was made by HEPC and the CTC chancellors. It was not the individual colleges. You know what? We had very tough choices, and we've been in some uncharted territory. It's been a balancing act. This balance is structurally sound. Difficult decisions had to be made. Without a doubt, this has been an all-inclusive and a very transparent process.
The House's budget bill passed 58-42. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the State House.
Senators also put their budget bill to a vote yesterday, but unlike the House, their spending plan doesn't contain any new revenue. Ashton Mara reports.
Senate Bill 199, the Senate's budget bill, spends just over $4 billion in the 2018 fiscal year. It does that without taking any money from the state's rainy day fund, which has been done in the past several budget years. It relies on a number of legislative and executive measures, as well as cuts, to find a balance. Senate Finance Chair Mike Hall explained to his chamber Wednesday that the bill takes into account the additional $43 million the state will save from smoothing payments to the teachers' retirement system, a process that allows for a smaller payment next year in return for larger payments in the following two. The bill relies on a Senate bill yet to be approved by the House that cuts public school spending by almost $80 million, replacing the revenue with increased property taxes at the local level. It maintains the 2% across-the-board cuts to many state agencies implemented by former Governor Earl Ray Tomlin in November. But it also cuts the Department of Health and Human Resources by almost 4%, higher education by more than $40 million, and zeroes out some state agencies and programs, including West Virginia Public Broadcasting, totaling more than $160 million in reductions to government spending.
Mr. President, I've been here a long time. I've never seen a budget so cruel.
Senator Roman Prezioso is the Senate's minority leader. The former finance chair says the Senate's budget proposal for the 2018 fiscal year hurts some of the state's most vulnerable populations, children, seniors, and the disabled. The cuts to the DHHR were criticized by several Democratic members of the body because most of those dollars are matched by the federal government. The Senate budget cuts programs like home health care reimbursements for seniors and disabled West Virginians, black lung clinics, zeroes out the tobacco cessation program, and will result in the loss of more than $100 million in federal funding, according to Prezioso. Democratic Senator Ron Stallings spoke against the budget bill.
There's nothing that stabilizes or protects Nothing that stabilizes our budget or protects our bond rating. This does not grow or diversify the economy or fix our roads. And this budget accelerates the growth of future health care costs.
Finance Chair Hall says he understands the cuts are difficult, but the bill is the start of the budget negotiating process. Once the Senate approves a bill, they can begin the process of compromising on funding levels with the House.
These are not things that I personally want to see happen. At this point, it's just a matter of the constraint of the numbers. That's it. I can't say anything else. You could ask me about any myriad of cuts that I've just heard you all describe that are painful. I don't disagree with that at all, and pretty draconian. I don't disagree with that. That's why I said this is not the final destination, and I know it's not a pretty picture to make it the Senate budget.
Other Republican members of the chamber argued that the budget does exactly what the people of West Virginia want, forces the state to live within its means, like Senator Charles Trump.
Are we to believe the sky absolutely falls when we cut the budget by 3.5%? Is that what we're to believe? Say it's not so. Say it is not so. And the people of this state will not fall for that rhetoric, that false, alarming, hyperbolic rhetoric. The people know. And this budget reflects what they expect of us. We send you to Charleston not to keep raising our taxes on a fragile economic circumstance in this state, but to live within your means.
Prezioso and several Democrats criticized not just the budget proposal itself, but also the process through which it was written. At the beginning of the session, Finance Chair Hall split his committee into work groups to consider individual agency funding. But Prezioso says this budget was not the result of that work.
This is not the Finance Committee's budget. This is not the Senate budget. This is the Senate Majority Leader's budget. From what I understand, it was not the chairman of the Finance Committee that worked on the budget. He was circumvented, and this ends up in our lap.
But Senate President Mitch Carmichael came down from the podium to speak at his desk on the floor, defending his party's position.
This budget does impose some burdens. Either way we do it, right? Whether we raise taxes or try to live within our means. We could make the argument that we could spend more. We could continue to spend more and it would alleviate the pain and suffering of more people. Where do we stop as a society? We have to control the spending.
The Senate approved its budget on a 20-14 vote with two Republicans, Senators Mike Maroney and Jeff Mullins, joining Democrats to oppose it. The bill, which is very different from the House's approved version, will likely go to a conference committee. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.